Blog Talk Radio.
Denise Griffiths is your partner in success. Tune in each Friday as virtual assistants, industry expert, web developer, and online entrepreneur Denise Griffiths interviews industry experts from one end of the internet to the other. These expert entrepreneurs freely share their business building knowledge and provide practical guidance that will show you how to build and grow your own very successful business, be it online or traditional brick and mortar. Now, ladies and gentlemen, your partner in success, Denise Griffiths.
Good morning, everyone. Today I am delighted to welcome back to the show Judy Peebles. Judy Peebles, as many of you already know, is the journaling genius. She is an international speaker, a business skills trainer and coach, and after 25 years of corporate experience, she didn't tumble off the ladder. She leapt off the corporate ladder and founded her own company. Thank goodness, because we're all using her services. She utilizes journaling, hypnosis, and other cutting-edge techniques, and she partners with clients to achieve immediate results in their businesses, their careers, their relationships, and their health and fitness. Wow, Judy, wow. Okay, I'm realizing that's a really wide range of services, but, you know, when I look at it, it all makes sense. So let me get back to what I was saying. I distracted myself a little bit. I'm impressed. Lots of coaches, counselors, and therapists advise their clients to keep a journal. Judy and I have talked about this. We have talked about this, and she'll back me up on this. At midnight, we've talked about journaling. Judy actually teaches you how to make journal writing productive and beneficial, both on a personal and a business level, which is so, so important. She works with driven, tenacious individuals. That would be the A-type individuals, Judy?
Pretty much, yeah.
You're talking to me, are you? Who are committed to their own success and who just need that extra little edge and push or guidance to assist them to reach that next level, as well as helping executives climb the corporate ladder. We'll talk about that later. She also readily translates her extensive knowledge of corporate business processes and procedures into easily actionable tasks for the small business owner. This is really important, and remember that later on. Judy is a dynamic and playful presenter who regularly helps business leaders by speaking at their team events locally and I think some international speaking too. So the last time Judy was here, we talked about personal journaling and why it is so very beneficial for personal growth. Today we're going to branch out and talk about journaling for business, which is really important. Judy has created an amazing journaling package, complete with her trademark journaling gems. I have mine. Mine are on my desk. I have dual monitors. They're sitting to the left of my left-hand monitor. I use them all the time. So we'll talk about those too. So Judy, welcome.
And thank you.
Thank you for being here again. I really, really appreciate it. And as people can probably tell, we know each other and we tend to laugh and giggle a lot together. So I'm not
too short not to laugh.
Just if you're tuning in for the first time, I'm not normally this distracted. It's Judy's fault. Going to pass the buck on this one. I'm just so glad you're here, and I love, love, love my journaling gems for the business.
I do.
Love them. So, you know, talk about, for people who have not heard you before or maybe haven't listened to the show, explain to people who you are and how you came to be called the journaling genius.
Okay. Well, I chose Journaling Genius, and I spelled genius with a J for Judy, and I created my Journaling Gems cards, and it's gems with a J for Judy, because journaling is my passion, some might say obsession, but I have found it's helped me so much both in my personal life, my business life, in corporate. I actually started numbering my pages back in June of 2000, and I have my journal here from this morning, and I'm on page 19,496. So I think I can call it an obsession at that point. But
I would term that you're an expert.
They're an expert. There you go.
It's kind of like resume writing. It's how you choose your words.
Right. So I've used it to create my business. Almost all my business ideas, my product ideas come out in my journal. And so many people think that journal writing is just, they picture a teenager girl in a corner going, oh, Johnny said hi to me today. And it's so much more than that. The power of the written word is just so incredible. A lot of business books you'll pick up nowadays, Jack Canfield's book, other people's books will say, write this, you know, do this writing exercise. They don't call it journaling. They call it a writing exercise. But it really is the same thing, and it is a very, very powerful tool. And it's right there at your fingertips, not to be punny, but it literally is right there, that you can find the answers through writing. I was actually at a networking event recently, and a lady was there who had attended several of my workshops. And she said, I was never a journaler, but she was recently on vacation, and she sat down quietly at some point and literally started writing out some ideas for her business. And she came back much more motivated and enthused with some better planning and a different direction for her business through just sitting down with a pen and a journal.
Right, and she had some quiet time to think about it, too.
Right.
Right. Well, I find, and I think we have had this discussion already, whether it's for personal or business, I have always found that if you go back into your journals, and it can be a 20-year-old journal, you can look at something and say, wow, that was a great idea, or oh my God, what was I thinking? But,
yes.
But you can actually learn them. I look at my journals as a business tool, mostly for learning about myself,
right.
My thought processes, my mistakes, maybe a brilliant idea that kind of got stuck somewhere and I can revisit. I mean, they're very definitely a tool if you use them properly. Explain that, because I know we've had this chat before.
Yeah, absolutely. There's something about having a pen in my hand and a blank piece of paper in front of me that just lets things flow. Now, the question always comes up, and let me cover this right away, is can I do it on my computer? And my answer to that is always yes, if that works for you. For me personally, I prefer to be away from my computer when I'm creating, because it's too distracting for me. You'll get pulled into Facebook or Twitter or your email, and then that creative moment is gone. So for me, it's easier on paper. But if that works for you as your creative process, that's absolutely fine. Mm-hmm. But just sitting down and facing that blank page, and I actually teach people how to use it rather than just, oh, keep a journal or write this in a journal. People look, but it's a blank page. How do I do that? So then that's one of the reasons why I created the Journaling Gems cards, is because it actually gives people specific prompts and writing exercises to get them moving and get their pen flowing onto the page. So for instance,
they are, they're brilliant.
Thank you.
When I got mine, I just went, oh my God, I called you. I remember thinking, oh, I must call. They're absolutely brilliant, because you do. We all have writer's block. Even if it's something intensely personal that nobody else is supposed to read, you still think, what am I going to put down on this blank page?
Right. And the Journaling Gems for the Business Professional, again, are specifically for business owners. I call it a business book in a box, because I don't know about you, but I have a ton of business books on my shelf. Some I've read, some not so much. So this is, if you don't have time to read a business book, you just grab one card when you have an opportunity and do the writing exercise and then take action on it to keep you stepping forward in your business. Because one of the things I say to my clients is motion is critical. You need to be moving. You need to be taking action. And this will give you some ideas of what action and what direction to head with your business.
Well, I know you have some specific steps. I'm sorry. Today has been a very long day. It's only 11 o'clock in the morning. I've been up since 4. It's been a very long day. So I'm just going to apologize to everybody right now. But I know that one of the steps that you often talk about, and I think it's the most critical step, or the first step, rather, is to identify where you want to go. So what do you tell people about that?
I do. Actually, I usually use this as an exercise for new clients. And I will typically give a new client a piece of homework to do a writing exercise. And honestly, when you mentioned earlier about the A-type individuals, I say I don't work with wimps or wimpettes. And if they're not willing to do one writing exercise, then I typically will not take them as a client. Because if they're not willing to take action and do what needs to be done, then I don't want to waste their time and money to work with them. So, but we need to know where we're going. There's a great quote, and I never remember it exactly, but the Cheshire Cat says to Alice, and she asks him which way she should go, and he said, where you want to get to? And she says, I don't know. And he said, well, then it doesn't much matter which direction you take. So if you don't know where you're going, how do you know when you've arrived? So I'll literally task a client with writing it out, and I do it a little differently than some coaches do, where I literally have them imagine a perfect day for themselves and write it out in detail from the time they open their eyes in the morning till the time they go to bed at night. And I mean a perfect day in their business. You can also incorporate their personal life as well. So you would write out, so I wake up and this is what's happening and this is how I spend my day. Because some people want to spend their day one way and some people might want to spend it another. And this is particularly critical for business owners, small business owners, and coaches and speakers, for instance. I have some coaches, I tend to be fine, I'm coaching coaches, which is interesting. I coach, they want to, some want to be home or only do local, and they'll do phone coaching and they'll do local speaking, and others want to be traveling around the world, you know, with their hair on fire going 900 miles an hour. And unless you know that, and some of them, when I start with them, they don't know that. They don't know where it is for them. So we find what that vision is for them, and then we take steps to get them where they want to go. And if they don't know, pardon?
And they do all this by just writing down those steps?
Just writing it down, sitting down quietly and writing it down and seeing what comes up, what feels right, because you'll know. You absolutely have all the answers. You just need to dig them out.
True enough.
And if they don't know, some of them say, well, I'm not sure. Then we work through several other different exercises to get them to figure out what that vision really is for them.
Well, so give me a for instance. Let's say I'm a client, I'm a new client, and I really don't know where I'm going to go. Pretend you don't know me at all, in other words.
That's difficult.
So,
Okay.
You know, just pretend that I am, you know, just kind of wandering around, lost in the woods, if you will. I have a lot of different ideas, but I genuinely don't know what my focus should be, and I may not even know what my core competencies are. And trust me, in my industry, I see a lot of that. People will come to me and say, well, I need a job. I want to work with you. What are your core competencies? I don't really know. Why are you contacting me? So I know that there are a lot of those people out there, and they're just, I think they've been bombarded with just so many different jobs that they really don't know how to just kind of think on their own, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm.
But if I were one of these people who just came to you and said, you know, I'm lost, I know I'm not happy, I know I'm not fulfilled doing what I'm doing, how can you lead me to find what my next career path would be or what my passion is? Because I really don't know.
Okay, so we're stepping back more into the personal side of things, but in leading
well,
to the
no.
business. But leading to the
actually,
business.
Yeah, because a lot of people now are taking that entrepreneurial leap because they have to.
Right.
You know, they may
have
lost
they've been laid off or whatever.
Yeah.
Well,
so
in the original deck,
resume.
I have more of, less of, and I actually just wrote a blog article about this the other day. What do you want more of in your life, and what do you want less of in your life? And just writing those lists will actually get you a lot of insight. Just literally sit down, just pour it out. You know, maybe it's more naps. You know, maybe it's less drama. The article I wrote the other day was, I want more luxury car rides versus taxi rides from the airport because I got spoiled. And that gets you to what's important to you, what you enjoy doing, what's kind of gives me an idea. When I get that from a client, it gives me an idea of what's going on in their life right now. A lot of people are living in a lot of chaos. A lot of people have a lot of other things in their life other than their business, where they're taking care of parents or they're taking care of kids, you know, that kind of thing. So that helps me identify that, because that is critical. I really absolutely believe in life balance. I'm not that good at it myself, but what is it they say? We teach what we need to learn.
Yeah.
But you need to have life balance, so I need to look at what their personal situation is. And then we do a list of, again, something from the Business Gems is their business inventory, which is list your strengths and weaknesses. So I find out what their core competencies are. And some people might find, the other thing we find is that somebody's really strong and really good at doing something, but they hate it. So we also look at that. So I find if
that's the corporate world, I think.
Yeah, they might be really good, say, accountants. I've known accountants. Mm-hmm. Great at accountancy. They hate it. They're really an artist at heart. They'd rather be painting or drawing or, you know, something else. So we look at those things. And then you can look at how can that be a business. I worked with somebody, it's like, how can you do what you love and make money doing it? Which sounds corny, but that's what I did. You know, I love journaling.
Yeah.
Journaling's my passion. How can I turn that into a business? And I went back and forth for a while to go, okay, should I be doing this? Should I be doing that? And then it was like, no, that's my passion. And my coach said to me, well, then that's absolutely what you should be doing.
And that makes perfect sense. It's not always easy to do it, but why be miserable? I mean, that's my big thing. Why in the world should you do something that you just dread doing every day?
Right. And honestly, for some people, it doesn't end up being a business. For some people, they can still keep their job if that's what they're okay with. And they can still feed that passion into their life. in a different way, and maybe in a small way, maybe starting out in a small way. It doesn't have to suddenly poof overnight become a multi-million dollar business. Well, it probably won't, or even a business at all, certainly for the first year or so. And if they are in a job, they can feed that passion, and then it's not so difficult to go to the job. Does that make sense?
It really does. A lot of very, very eminent bloggers these days started out, it's just a hobby. They started out as something they were very passionate about, became a hobby, they started sharing it, they found other people who shared that passion or that interest, they formed these communities, and now they're very successful blogging. So, you know, you just never know. So when you say think on paper, I think we've covered a lot of that, but are there any particular, for instances, or not instructions, but, you know, maybe things that you tell people, you know, this is how you would think on paper just to get started?
Well, of course, brainstorming is a great way, and you can either do that a couple of ways. Some people are list makers. I'm a huge list maker. I make lists for everything. So you can make a list, or you can what I call free write, which is just letting sentences flow on the page. And that's often what I suggest when I do this, what's my perfect day at work? So it would be like I'm sitting in my office, I'm looking out at the trees, and I have a fuchsia sit in front of me, which the hummingbirds come and feed at. So that would start out my perfect day in my office. Or it can be I could be doing 1, 2, 3 and make the list, or my other favorite is mind mapping. And mind mapping is great for creative ideas. It's great for getting out of overwhelm if you feel like you've got so much on your plate. So if you haven't done mind mapping, there's software to do it, or you can just do it on paper. I usually do mine on paper. And just put a box in the middle as to what your topic is, and then you just kind of branch off it with different in different areas. And it's a great way because one thing will lead to another, lead to another, lead to another. And you'll get ideas coming out that you never thought of before or you didn't think you had.
Right. Now, when you say brainstorm, I'm assuming that you mean brainstorming with other people?
Can be with other people. It can be just with yourself.
Now, explain that one, Lucy. explain that one, Lucy.
Explain. You got some explaining to do, Lucy.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a redhead.
Yeah. I live in the South. Say what?
Well, the other thing you can do is dialogue. And dialogue is very powerful, and this is going to sound weird, because I know you may not admit it, but you have those voices in your head, right? I know I do. And
constant chatter. We all have it. Self-dialogue, we all do it.
So you can pick one of those voices and actually have a conversation with that voice on paper. Now, I do this with two different color pens. So I'll have one pen for one voice and one pen for myself and have a conversation with that person. It's great if it's your critic. Or I have my brat that I have conversations with, and she's like this kind of preteen attitude kind of girl, you know. So a lot of she'll be like, whatever. But you can have a conversation with that critic and find out what it is that their concerns are. So, and you can ask yourself questions. How do I do this? How is a really great question. How can I make this happen? How do I get help with this? How do I find out more about this? And oddly enough, when you're writing questions, and I'm kind of floating around here with lots of different techniques, but questions are fantastic because it will engage your unconscious mind. And your unconscious mind is like a little kid. It just wants to find the answers. It wants to please you. So you put that question in there. Sometimes I've done this, a list of questions, and before I've written the whole question on the page, I've got the answer.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have the expectation of having that. Just open your journal and just start writing. And whatever technique works best for you, I use multiple techniques obviously all the time, whether it's brainstorming a list. And one thing about brainstorming is don't critique it. If you get something comes into your head, just write it down because you never know where that thought will lead to. And you might think that thought sounds silly or dumb, and then suddenly it leads to something that's just incredible. You can free write, you can do a mind map, or you can do the dialogue. And those are different ways just to get ideas about your business, about your life, about where you want to go.
So you're saying don't self-edit.
Right. Because remember, one thing I always say in my workshops is when you're journaling, it's just for you. And spelling doesn't count and handwriting doesn't count as long as you can read it. And sometimes that's doubtful for me. I'm looking over my journals going, what does that say? Mm-hmm. So it's just for you. And you don't ever have to share it with anybody if you don't choose to.
Well, let's go back to computer versus paper because I'm the A-type personality that Judy mentioned that does it on computer. Now, Judy tried to break me of this, and she's done a good job. She did send me a pink journaling, the Journaling Genius journal, which is now on my bedside table. And that is one that I use actually I wake up in the middle of the night. I've actually put a marker next to my bed so I don't have to turn the light on and wake my husband up. So this journal is something of a mess, but when I wake up at 3 in the morning, which is not uncommon, and I have an absolutely brilliant idea, which I'm not going to argue with myself, it was brilliant. So I write it down, and I just flip open this journal and I write it down the next morning, and I go, oh, whoa, and then I go act on it. So in that instance, having the paper journal there for me has been really, really, something that I needed. However, for my business journaling, Judy sent me the Journaling Genius business journal with the cards, and I have to admit I used it as a to-do list. My to-do list is annotated. I'm like you. I mean, I have a to-do list. It's color-coded. It's annotated. It's gorgeous.
Pictures of that. We'll put it up on the website.
No.
Make them blurry so we can't read it.
It's embarrassing. It's so anal retentive. That's all I can say.
Well, the thing about
it's just this wonderful journal, and I'm now learning to take the journaling cards. It's been a process for me. So I'm learning from Judy as I go. I'm actually remembering to take these cards one a day, and I just grab one at random. And I'll go, oh, that is brilliant. And then I start writing. I'm actually writing now in the journal. You're so proud of me.
Oh, wow. I am proud of you.
Yeah. I didn't tell you this yet. I'm actually writing real things in my journal. I'm just like, woo-hoo. But I do admit I'm one of those people that I journal. I have an online, it's not an online, but it's an application, a journaling application that I have on my desktop.
And there are advantages
and
to
I
that.
Correct
you can do searches
myself.
And things like that, yeah.
Oh, yeah, but the thing is, it has to be perfect. I'm such an idiot about it. I have to check my spelling, my punctuation. So it hasn't gotten to the point, and I've journaled for years and years and years, but I've never learned to really relax and free flow with it. And what would you tell somebody like me who just has to just be in so much control? How do you free flow? How do you make somebody like me too? And I know there's a bunch of us out there.
Oh, I know there are. Yes, I have them in my classes. I look at their journal pages and I'm jealous because they're so neat and tidy, and mine are like scroll.
Yeah.
I write it in angle, which is why my journals don't have lines in them. And I stick things in. If I get a great email or something, I'll print it out and stick it in my journal.
Mm-hmm.
And so my journal becomes like a tracking of my life. And I'll draw sometimes, and I'm not a great drawer. I do awesome stick figures.
I thought that was Hangman.
Well, there is that.
That's about all I can draw, too.
Yeah, so it's just give it up and just relax. Who's it for? Who else is going to see it?
Me, but
so
I'm a perfectionist.
Okay. You might find freedom. First of all, you might find freedom in other points of creativity. If you're not so worried about making it perfect, you might actually be blocking off your creative juices.
I've wondered about that.
By worrying about making it perfect.
Yeah.
Rather than just letting it flow. Just like me, when I had a coach that first made me draw, I'm like, I don't want to draw, I can't draw. And then I finally just gave it up and said, okay, I draw really good stick figures.
I can do the tree. You know the tree with the big bubble on top? It has like four
Oh, yeah,
loops.
Like on the house, the little kid house.
I can do
like
that.
You were in kindergarten. Yeah, I'm good at that,
and there's
too.
A dog. There's a dog on the left-hand side.
And the other thing I'll do is I'll do a collage in my journal. And one of the original Gems cards is about do a mini collage. So just grab a magazine, grab one picture or one word out of it, stick it on the page, and then journal about what that means to you. And that's a great way to get your creative juices flowing as well.
Right. Well, you and I have talked about using your journal as kind of a mini vision board.
Right.
Which I love. I love that idea. So speak to that if you don't mind.
Well, like I said, you can just grab one thing if you don't have a lot of time, because that's the biggest thing I hear from people these days. We have so much going on in our lives, especially if you're a business owner, especially if you have family and you have other commitments and things. There's not a lot of time. So, I mean, I do a vision board class twice a year, but if you don't have time for that, literally grab one or two pictures and just stick them in your journal. You know, if you see something you like, stick it in your journal. If you and then write about what you like. It's amazing how things will suddenly create in your life. By just having that picture and knowing that that's something that you want. So you can literally just make, I think you did that with one of your journals, didn't you? It almost becomes like pages and pages of a vision board.
Well, that's the pink one that you sent me that one actually became my vision board. I mean, it became list after list after list, picture after picture. It's full. You sent that thing to me within 2 weeks. It was full.
You need to order
it. And
them.
I was like, well, yeah, I do. And it's like, well, now I need to get busy making all this stuff. So,
right. And for those people who don't know what vision boards are, I'm sure this everybody talks about the law of attraction and all of that, whatever you believe about that. To me, I do vision boards because they're fun. It's my creative outlet. Like I said, I can't draw, but I can make really good vision boards with pictures and stuff. This year, actually, I made a three-dimensional one, so it folds out and out and out. And for me, for instance, right in the middle of mine is a private jet, because that's my thing. And I actually recently got the chance to go to a private jet company's reception and got pictures taken of me on the jets. I actually got to sit in the cockpit of a Gulfstream, and it was a blast. You know, so I'm getting closer to my vision, my private jet.
You have your button one. That's good.
Yeah, there you go. It's a start, right?
It's very definitely a start.
And it's the coaching point that what you focus on is what you're going to bring into your life. And I really do believe that. Yeah.
Oh, I do too. It has happened to me too many times for me to argue with it.
Yeah.
I don't even.
Well, the classic for me
anymore.
Is this. I don't know if you've seen the movie. It's Steve Martin and Diane Keaton. It's Father of the Bride 2, where his daughter's getting married, and then she gets pregnant. His wife. So basically, they're having a child and a grandchild at the same time. So they leave the doctor's office and they're driving down the road and they've just found out that she's pregnant. And she's looking out the window and seeing all the parents with all their happy, happy kids and, oh, this is fabulous. And he's looking out the other window seeing all the dads yelling at their kids, kids screaming and crying and kicking, you know, throwing fits and everything. So again, it's what you're looking for, is what you're going to see. And that's where the vision board triggers that, because you go through the magazines and you pull out pictures that appeal to you, and then that's what you're going to focus on.
Well, I did that with my car. It absolutely does. I decided, a couple of years ago, several years ago actually, that I love an SUV. I don't like to be down on the ground going rum rum. I like to be up where I can terrorize people. And I wanted a new SUV, and I decided in my infinite wisdom that it had to be a Mercedes. So I got a picture. I had Mercedes send me their catalog. I chose the one I wanted, stuck it on my vision board, and 3 months later it was in my driveway.
Wow, yeah.
It
worked.
If you focus on it and you just believe that it's going to show up because you're going to work hard and get it there, it shows up.
Right. It's not
really
like you
does.
Can sit on your couch going, bring me a Mercedes,
no.
Bring me a Mercedes.
No, you're
you
heading
actually
for
do
a
have
goal.
To take steps. Right.
You
can
go do something about it.
Right.
But I know with the cards, I find that the cards, the journaling gem cards, help me in planning.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I'll sit down with my journal and I just kind of freely write, all of a sudden something will pop up out of nowhere. It's like, oh, that is a great idea. Or, oh, my God, I should have taken care of that. I find that it helps me plan my days in some weird fashion.
Well, I sit down with my journal first thing in the morning and decide what my priorities are. Easy for you to say. Priorities are for the day. Because,
I'm rubbing off on you.
Yes, it's
Sorry.
Contagious. So, because if you don't plan your day, somebody else will plan it for you. So if I don't set I do my top 3 to 5 priorities that I absolutely have to get done that day. And then obviously you should tackle those first. If you ask any coach, they'll tell you to do that. But if you don't plan it, you walk into your office on days when my morning gets a little messed up and I just walk into my office and it's kind of like, what was I going to do today? What do I have to get done? But just sitting down first thing in the morning with that quiet time, okay, these are the things I must get done today.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get those things done, then I can put 3 to 5 more things on my list if I want. Because what I found was I was making these huge, long to-do lists, and not that I don't keep those separately, but for the day, be practical. What do you really think you can get done in a day? Otherwise, your to-do list becomes this daunting thing, and you're always beating yourself up about what you didn't get done,
which
is the other technique that I shared with Denise. At the end of my day, I'll write down what my successes were for the day. Rather than focusing on what I didn't get done, I focus on what I did get done. And I'm always surprised. And I started doing that mostly because I would talk to my coach once a week or so, and I would say, oh, I just didn't get anything done this week. And she would say, well, what did you get done? Well, I did this. And then as we went through the conversation, oh, and I did this. Oh, and I got this, and I did this, and I did this. And I wasn't even aware of it. I was so focused on what I hadn't achieved, I wasn't focusing on what I had achieved and celebrating that. And that's really important.
And I remember that conversation because I would say to you, I go to bed at the end of the night and I'm trying to do you know, you want to say your prayers and, you know, say I'm grateful for everything. And the little genie pops up and says, but what'd you get done today? Oh, my God, go away. So I would find that I would be laying in bed going, having this dialogue with my little genie, who hates me, by the way.
Aww.
And they were, what did you do all day? And I couldn't remember. And what I found was that I have an ongoing list of things. I create my tasks in the morning, and I do it on my computer. Everything I do is on my computer. And then I would use the little font strike through, and I'm very tidy. I would cross through everything I got done. And when I was through with the list, I would delete it. So I didn't have any memory of what I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, darn it, Denise, stop doing that. So I found myself catching, you know, I would save that list until the next morning. That way I could say, well, look what you did yesterday. Good
right.
girl.
Right.
So it was just a tool, and Judy suggested that to me. She said, don't throw your list away. If you've done so much during the course of a day that you honestly can't remember it all, you need to have that little chat with yourself at the end of the day and say, wow, you really got through a lot of work today. Good going.
Yeah, what I do, I do.
Journal that or write it down or whatever you want to do.
I actually keep my list in my journal, and then I highlight it. Instead of crossing it out, highlight it when it's done. And then you can see on your page all the highlighted things. And that's
right.
like a woohoo. And sometimes if you guys just have one or two more things on your to-do list for that day, you just want to get them done so you can highlight the whole page.
Yeah. I may try that because I cross through everything.
Yeah, no, I use a highlighter. Of course, I use a pink highlighter.
Yes, you do. Well, you know, I'm so tidy, I do it on a computer, and I do it, you know, manually with my little
You can highlight.
Through.
You can probably highlight on the computer,
I know.
Too.
Yeah. I actually could, and I can use pink, too.
There you go.
But I really
give you
like
a really quick
idea.
Visual of what you've done. And you're like, wow, look,
it
I did
does.
All that. Yeah,
it does. Because at the end of the day, I would have the, you know, the boss to employee chat. Well, what did you do all day? I don't know. And then the employee would get cranky with the boss, and the boss would say, well, you're not doing much. Why do I keep you around?
Right.
And it's all the same person. So
you need to have a dialogue with your little genie.
We'll
talk about that offline.
I actually think I'm controlling that little genie better because
okay.
I just... You know, being a perfectionist, you do run into problems. It creates its own set of problems.
Right.
And I admit that. So for anybody who's listening, journaling has gotten me through a lot of, you know, just the, I would wind myself up in a ball thinking, oh, man, I have just got so much more to do. Really, I didn't. You know, once I started journaling and keeping track of everything that I was doing, I found... to my surprise and great joy, that I'm getting through a tremendous amount of stuff during the day. So I'm
the other thing is, as you mentioned, is to capture your ideas, because we have these ideas,
yeah.
especially entrepreneurs and people that have all their own businesses and stuff. Write them down, because otherwise they're lost.
Oh,
and
I
I've
do.
Got what I do now is I actually go back, I review my journals at the end of the month. As you can imagine, that's a lot of pages. And
yeah.
I create a mind map, or what I call a heart map, because my little circles are heart shaped. And I create a map of everything, like what did I do and what were my ideas and those ideas. And I actually create a separate map of the actions I need to take from those ideas, because otherwise the ideas would just get lost.
They do.
And so that's the way to track them. If you don't write them down, you know, they'll be in your head and they'll be gone. And I've actually gotten into friends' cars and seen my journal in their car, and I'm like, don't journal while you're driving. And they're like,
oh my God.
I do it at the stoplights.
Well, look, I actually journaled on microcassette for a number of years.
Yeah, it's just find a way to capture it.
Yeah, there's a way. So what is the best advice that you can give to people who are, let's say, budding entrepreneurs or online entrepreneurs or working for somebody else, that they're going to become their own boss? Anybody, you know, personal, business, entrepreneur, whatever it is, wherever you are in your life, I think most people should journal. What advice do you give them to just get started?
I think the first thing is do the more of, less of, or do the free write as to what you want in your life, what you would like your, if you could wave a magic wand, what would your life look like? And figure out what that is. Now, when you do that, then you can look back and go, okay, which pieces of this can I incorporate today? So again, it doesn't have to be huge steps. You know, you might want the house by the ocean, and you might want, you know, Sven to bring you in fresh squeezed orange juice in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And but
my husband
you could.
Cannot listen to this interview.
But you
I'll
could
tell him later.
You could squeeze yourself some orange juice and put on an Ocean Sounds tape or and sit with your journal in the morning. So how can you create little pieces of that to make your life more like your ideal life until you can get yourself to your ideal life?
Oh,
and it's just baby steps like that.
Yeah.
You know, if you're in a job and you want to work from home, how can you start to create your business? And again, start with
baby. That's a big one.
Yeah.
That's the biggest one that I hear. People will say, well, you know, I'm ready to branch out on my own. Now what do I do? Oh, boy.
First of all, figure out what it is that you want. And actually, and I'm not to push myself, but you should absolutely have a business coach before. If you're in a job, get a business coach before you get out of your job to create what it is you want as much as you can while you still have that income coming in, especially in today's economy.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I 100% agree. So I think we've covered planning to some degree. Well, no, let's go back to the business aspect of it.
Okay.
So if somebody wants to branch out on their own, become an online entrepreneur, which is my favorite phrase in the whole world, how do they plan this? Number one, they start, as you said, just kind of figure out what they want to do. Number two, they should get a coach. What are the next steps?
And then with that coach, they'll figure out where their strengths and weaknesses lie, where their passion lies, what is it they are an expert in, as you used that term earlier, and then figure out how do you create a business around that that can actually be profitable. It's funny because I was actually talking to someone at a networking event last night, and he said, I have this business idea, and I'm working on my business plan. He was talking to me all about it, and I automatically put on my coach's hat, and I apologized to him afterwards, and I said, and how is that going to make money? And he went, I hadn't thought of that.
Oh.
You know, people have these great ideas and these great business plans, but it's like, okay, and how is that going to create income for you and wealth? You know, it's people, because people are very passionate about things. So help figure out what you're passionate about, how you can create that as a business, what your market is, where you find your market. And one of the cards I have, friends, I just pulled one up at my hands, is your niche or niche, however you prefer to pronounce it, and your target market. And again, on this one, I create a mind map of possible niches and figure out who are you marketing to? Who's your ideal? And what one coach said to me was, who do you like to hang out with? What kind of people?
Yeah.
Because that's the people that you'll be best serving, especially if you're in a service business. Don't put yourself in the company of people that you can't relate to.
No, that's absolutely true. You know, my grandmother used to say water seeks its own level. If you hang around with people who are fearful, who are just going, oh, that's not going to work, don't talk to them anymore. Seriously.
Right.
Don't talk to them. Don't go to church with them. Don't exchange Christmas cards. Leave them alone.
Yeah.
They're not going to help you.
I had a coach that talked about it like a milkshake. So imagine you have a milkshake on your shoulder, and it can be whatever flavor you want, and it can be whatever size you want. So it's like that's like your energy level. So it could be small, medium, large, extra large, or frozen cow, as he put it. And you don't let people steal your milkshake. So if you're in a relationship with somebody that's sucking your milkshake and saying, hey, you want fries with that, you have to walk away from them.
This is why we should never do radio interviews. I'm telling you.
Now you're thinking about frozen cows on your shoulder, right?
No, not at all. Okay, I am going to go back to the cards here. One of the cards that I pulled out this morning is success. And, of course, that's my mantra, everyday success.
Okay.
And the card says, what does success mean to you? And it can be very complex and different for each of us. And then it goes on to tell you exactly how to start writing about your own success.
Right.
So these cards are seriously cool.
Thank you.
Do I sound very like 12-year-old?
Very proud of her. No, actually, I was at a networking event, and actually a financial guy bought a set the other day. He goes, these are fantastic. So there's things in here about systems, because systems is a big issue of mine with a lot of entrepreneurs. You know, do you have a referral system is one. What's your sales process? Are you looking at your costs? One thing I find with a lot of entrepreneurs is they're not looking at the numbers, because they're mostly creative people. They're not numbers people.
Right.
But you have to be looking at the numbers. And then about your team. And, again, exit strategy is in here. So I'm just flipping through these. What's your revenue
plan? I mean, here's your legal structure.
Right.
Most people don't even think about their legal structure. They just say, well, I need a website. I'm ready to go.
Right.
No. Bad. You're not ready to go.
Yeah, I was shocked. I was in a workshop with Lisa Nichols in Oceanside a couple of this past weekend, and there were people.
Now,
in
I know
here
who
didn't...
she is, but explain who Lisa Nichols is.
Lisa
for
Nichols,
those of us who don't know.
Yeah, Lisa Nichols was in The Secret, and she's written a couple of Chicken Soup books, and she's also just written a new book called No Matter What, which I recommend everybody check out. It's a fabulous book. But she gave a workshop about speaking and writing, and I was surprised at the number of people that didn't even have a website yet. So some of the things you need to do is you need to get your structure in place, and that's some of the systems that you need to put in place. If you haven't read The E-Myth by Michael Gerber, I highly recommend it.
Yeah, I have that book. It's a great book. And you're right. I mean, you have to sit down and you have to figure out, and this is probably where your coach can help you more than anything, is just sit down and figure out what your business structure is, what the legalities are. Are you going to be a sole proprietorship? Are you an LLC? Are you a corporation? You know, how do you protect yourself on your website? These are all very, very important things, and they don't necessarily have to be costly.
Right.
But if they're not taken care of, they sure can become costly.
Yes. Yeah.
So you really need to get those structures in place before you even, you know, open your doors or pick up your phone.
Right. And I tell people, if you're serious about your business and you don't have a business coach, I don't believe you. Because Michael Phelps did not get to Beijing without a coach. You know,
no.
It's okay for athletes to have coaches to take them to the next level in their core competency, which is their sport. And your business is, in essence, your sport. And if you really want to take it to the next level, you absolutely should have a business coach.
I think I was speaking with somebody the other day who said Tiger Woods had something like 7 coaches.
Oh, yeah, for various different, I've heard that too.
Yeah,
so there's one that works on his swing, and there's one that works on something else, and he's got a business card and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. We don't exist in a vacuum. We really don't.
Right.
And it's a great idea, you know, to start your business, but you really do need help. And anybody who thinks you can just kind of sit in your corner of your office and go, I can do this on my own, you can in about 12 years.
Right. I've had a business
if
coach
you
for
it all your own.
10 or 15 years ago, I started having coaches on a regular basis.
Yeah.
And I typically have one or two at a time. And sometimes for a particular niche, whether it's like for now I have a media coach or I have a business coach, and then you can have the life coaches for the other stuff, or at least have one.
Yeah, at least.
And I'll often refer people to other coaches if I'm not the right fit for them. Somebody came up to me the other day, and although my bio says that I do health and fitness, it's not my prime area. So somebody specifically wanted something on weight loss, and I actually referred her to a friend of mine who specifically handles that. That's her niche.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Although I do still coach an Ironman triathlete, where I'm actually going to have a session with him probably tomorrow because he has a race on Sunday. And I do a hypnotherapy session with him before his races. I've been coaching him for years, so.
Mm-hmm. Well, if he's Iron Man, he's pretty good at what he does.
He is an Iron Man. Iron Man triathlete. Can you imagine?
No.
If he's listening to this, I think he's insane, but I still love him.
I did not want to say that. My idea of exercise is, you know, right now I'm sitting on my big ball, you know, those big exercise balls.
Oh, right.
I'm sitting on that instead of my regular chair, so I'm getting some exercise. I'm so proud.
There you go. That counts. Well, I have a Wii Fit, and I do. I have a Wii Fit. Wii
I have
Sport.
A Wii Fit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do the same, and I do go to the gym. But to get out and to exercise like that or compete like that, that takes a special type of a person.
Right.
Special type of a mind. Okay, I just pulled a card out of my stack here.
Okay.
De-stress.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I love this card. You know, I pull this one, I think, more often than anything.
You must need it.
I might have bent the corner or something. But it says, what does it say? Being in business can cause a lot of pressure. No kidding. What can you do for yourself today? If not today, then this week. Make a list. Maybe just take a deep breath. By the way, that really does help.
Mm-hmm.
Go for a walk or call a friend. In my case, I go pick up a cat.
Mm.
You know, honestly, sometimes the easiest thing for me to do is leave my office, have all the cats follow me, then choose one and pick it up and hold it. Because if I'm in here, they're in here. But sometimes it can be just that simple. Take a deep breath, get a glass of water, and hold something you love.
Right. Or walk outside if you can and walk barefoot in the grass or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Just take that break. Because I know you do the same thing I do. Sometimes you're working 16, 20 hours a day.
Yeah.
Flat
Which,
out.
By the way, we're not lying.
No. Because I'll sometimes call her. I'm in California and she's in Louisiana, and I'll sometimes call her at 5 in the morning my time.
Yeah.
And sometimes
and
I talk to her at midnight, her time.
I'll pick up the phone whispering because my husband's asleep. Do you know what time it is? She'll say yes.
It's early. It's half past dark.
The other card that's here is
about small steps. I just flipped through, and this is one. It says you don't have to know all the steps. You don't even have to know the perfect first step, but you do need to take a small step in the direction you want to go. What are one or two small steps that you can take today? And sometimes that might be something as small as researching something, going online and finding a contact or somebody who's doing something that you want to do so you can look at their model and see what they're doing. Or finding networking places that
find
you can
mentors.
Go and, yeah.
Absolutely. One of my other all-time favorites is the growing pains, where you say it's possible to start a business with very little help and then you just go on from there.
Yes, because then that's one thing. If people get stuck a lot of times, if they haven't put the structure in place, when they do get down the road and then suddenly they need support and they need help, so you need to plan for that. You need to get an idea of what that's going to look like. Like me,
so
I just recently hired a personal chef because I decided I needed
to
eat better. And
I'm
not
on your
cooking.
Facebook wall. I'm so jealous. Just so you know.
I saw that, yes. Yeah, because you do need the support. Whether you're having, somebody come in and clean your house or having an admin or whatever, you will eventually need that and you need to plan for that. You really cannot do it all yourself, not if you really want to grow your business.
You can't. You honestly can't. I tried that for a lot of years. Y'all, it does not work.
Y'all?
You'll get there. Y'all. You will get there, but it'll take you much, much longer than it should have. So I have that card in my hand. What is your support system? Who's in your corner? Very important. And here you talk about mind mapping or making a list.
Right. And support system is critical. And support system may not be people doing things for you. It's that friend that you can call.
Mm-hmm.
It's the people in your life who support you in your endeavors, and you know they're there for you, and you know they're your rah-rah, they're your cheerleaders. And you absolutely need those people to know that they're out there.
No question about it. Let's go on to conflict management, because oddly enough, that is a problem when you're in business for yourself.
Yes.
You may be the only one in the office, but there's still you may have team members that you can't resolve an issue with. You may have a client that, frankly, you're not a good fit with.
Right.
So how does journaling help you with conflict management?
I use two techniques for that usually. If something comes up for me, well, maybe three. One, you can just free write and vent about it. If somebody's just really upset you or you're really emotional about a situation that happens, just sit down with your journal and just literally, bleh, throw it all out on a page.
In other words, do not email this to the person.
No, yes.
Do not think before you send.
Exactly.
Do not
don't hit
email.
That send button. Yeah.
No.
And then you can write that person a letter, again, not to be sent. And you absolutely, even if you choose to send it at some point, you should absolutely wait at least a day, usually I say 2 to 3 days, before you're going to send them a letter. And then, again, the dialogue works. So imagine yourself having a conversation with that person. And that will often diffuse it, because if you take that person and really stand in that person's shoes, what are they thinking? Why did they say that, or why do they feel that way? And kind of take it apart. That's a way for the people that like to analyze. It's a great way to analyze the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And it diffuses the emotions around it. And
that
that's what I found.
Empathetic instead of angry.
Right. I had got an email from somebody once. It was a couple of years ago, and I was about ready to just shoot blast one back. You know what that's like. And I thought, no, I really shouldn't do that. So I just sat down and wrote in my journal, why do I feel this strongly about that? What's coming up for me? What is this all about? Things like that. And I just wrote and wrote and wrote, and it did. It took the emotion out of it, took the sting out of it. And then I was able to sit down and compose an email that made sense, that wasn't from an emotional-based response, but that was from a logical business-based response.
Mm-hmm. So that's how you resolved it?
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Yeah. Whereas if I just sat down and blasted, it could have just destroyed the whole business relationship with this person.
Well, yeah, and then it just starts kind of an ongoing little problem until one of you calls a halt to it.
Right.
Okay, so journaling gems for the business professional. We've been talking about those a lot. Where do people find those?
So they can go to the gift shop on my website, which is www.thejournalinggenius.com, and genius is spelled with a J, and click on gift shop. And there is a... I'm actually seeing if I can key it in now.
Yeah.
And you can
purchase. I see that
these.
I wrote it into the. I put it in the chat room.
In the chat
and
room.
I spelled it wrong.
Oh, you spelled it with a G.
I did, and I know better. I built the darn website. God knows I know better.
Actually, no,
okay.
I'm seeing your thing. It doesn't look right to me. But so go to thejournalinggenius.com and go to the gift shop. Now, you can buy the cards by themselves, or you can buy them with the journal as a package. If you buy them with the package, you also get a 20-minute consultation with the Journaling Genius.
Right.
And so for the same price as buying the journal and the cards separately. And the 20 minutes does not have to be specifically around journaling. It can be about your business. It can be about your personal life. It can be like a mini coaching session. So that's a great way to get engaged and move forward with us further on that. And as
okay,
you can probably tell, I do like to have fun. So,
yeah.
So there will be laughter.
Now, you have a newsletter, don't you?
I do. If you sign up for my newsletter, I have some articles that I want to send you. We've talked about mind mapping. So I have an article called Mind Mapping Your Way Out of Overwhelm. I don't know about you, but I, as a business owner, I often find myself in overwhelm, and I use mind mapping to help myself move forward out of it. And one thing we didn't talk about was storyboarding today. So it's an article about storyboarding with Post-its. Now, I use storyboarding with Post-its to create my products, so that's how these journaling gems came into fruition. So if you've got a product idea, a book idea, even just to create your business, you can use storyboarding with Post-its. And then the third article, how does that work?
Yeah.
Do we have time to go into that?
Yeah. Okay,
we'll
about the third article.
Another time. And the third article
tell
is
us about it, that.
The third article is do it or delegate it. So one thing that a lot of business owners are not good at is delegating, and you absolutely have to, as we were talking about with the team situation. So it's ways to create a list of what you need to do and then figure out what you can delegate to somebody else. Because Laura Langmeyer talks about business owners should only be doing revenue-producing activities. You should only be doing what only you can do. And obviously when you start out, you're doing everything. But once you get to the point where you can have people on your team, and you don't have to pay them. Sometimes you can do trades or whatever you need to do. But if you set yourself up to do everything, you'll set yourself up to fail.
That's absolutely true.
So if you go to the website, www.thejournalinggeniuswithaj.com, you will sign up for the newsletter, and I will send you those three articles.
Very good. Well, can we go back to storyboarding with Post-its? Please, don't yell at me. We have a few more minutes.
We do, okay. Storyboarding with Post-its. So, you know, what I do is I take Post-its, and whenever I get an idea, for instance, when I'm creating the gems, I decide on what my topic is. And then I literally, whenever I get an idea, I just stick it on it, write it on a Post-it, and I stick it on a wall. Or you can stick it on a board, or you can stick it on a closet door. You can stick it in a journal, a book. And keep all those together. And then the thing with the Post-its is then you can arrange them. So when I had all 52 of my ideas on my storyboard, then I arranged them into the suits. So this one goes under here, this one goes under here. And that it's a way to create, it's almost like mind mapping or storyboarding, but with something physical. So if you're a very physical, tactile person, you can take the Post-its and move it around. And there's little tips like right at the bottom of the Post-it so that you can overlap them so they don't take up so much room. And it's just a way to organize your thoughts. I have on one of my walls here, I have all of the ideas that I have for the next future sets of Journaling Gems cards on Post-its. And it's very low-tech, but it works for me. And then I can just decide which one I'm going to do. And if I get an idea for one of them, I'll put it up there too. So they're almost creating themselves rather than having to sit down with a project. Oh, okay, now I have to write these gems. For instance, I'm working on journaling gems for the business blogger because someone requested them. So they'll be coming out in a couple of months. And so I've already got ideas up for that. And then I have 7 other sets coming, actually more than that, because people give me ideas all the time. And I just capture them. It's a way to capture your ideas and organize them. Does that make sense?
It does, actually. And I use Post-it notes, but I use electronic Post-it notes.
Okay.
So,
you would.
Sorry.
I need to get away from my computer.
I know, but this is where I live. I actually have electronic Post-it notes, and they reside on my left screen, and they're just always little reminders for me. But when Judy's talking about the suites of cards, they're actually categorized into 4 different colors. So you can kind of grab the color that you think that you really want to look at. And, you know, there are different categories in 4 different colors. It's a very neat system.
Right.
I mean,
a girlfriend of mine said, you
should
have made them like cards so we could play cards with them.
I was kind of looking for the nudes, but I didn't see them.
For the what?
That's the nudes.
Nudes.
Did I request those yet?
No, not yet.
Okay, well, can you put that on one of your posts?
I haven't had any volunteers for the pictures.
Oh. Well, no. Okay, gotcha. So does anybody, I'm looking to see if anybody in the chat room has any questions, and I'm not seeing anything.
Okay.
So tell people again where they need to go to see the Journaling Genius in her full glory.
Go to www.thejournalinggenius.com. So it's the journalinggenius.com, and genius is spelled with a J for Judy. And there's a gift shop there, and also you'll be able to link to my blog, which I haven't updated lately because I've been blogging on other people's blogs. So.
Mm-hmm.
I know Denise is going to kill me.
Mm-hmm.
But
we'll
I do post articles. You can, and also there's a link so you can be my friend on Facebook, and LinkedIn, and Twitter, and tweet me.
And you're going to have an affiliate program up and running pretty shortly.
Oh yes, thanks for reminding me. Yes, we are putting together an affiliate program. And I'm doing this for anybody who's in business who doesn't have products they want to sell, particularly for coaches and speakers, and that if they don't have products they want to sell, or anybody. If you want to post a link onto your website, then you will actually be able to make 10% commissions by selling the journaling gems and the other products. And these will be an ongoing, as I say, I will be bringing out products on a regular basis, so this is a chance for you to make some extra money and promote the journaling gems.
And help people figure out how to overcome their roadblocks, because it happens. I mean,
right.
It really does happen. And journaling, whether you do it electronically, as I do, or you do it on paper, or you take these gorgeous, you know, Journaling Genius journals and you scribble them with a marker, or you treat it as a to-do list, no matter what you do, it's so, so helpful.
Yeah, one thing I do want to say about my
journal.
My products are all produced in the U.S., so that's that's my thing.
And they're gorgeous.
They're not created outside the U.S. They are produced here by a company back east. So,
but what I find with mine is I'm able to pick up my journals, my physical journals that Judy has, you know, really helped me to start using, and I can go back a week, 2 weeks, a month or two, or whatever, and just go, oh my gosh, that was absolutely a brilliant thought. Let me stop what right now. And go cope with that. And it's amazing. So I find that these things are just, for me, a reminder tool, if nothing else. I mean, I can go back and go, oh, why didn't I act on that? Okay, I'll go do it now.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's really a good system to just kind of keep you on top of, you know, you don't want to lose your creativity. And if you don't get these things written down, if you don't kind of keep on top of them or go back and revisit them, sometimes they're just gone.
Right, and we, as an entrepreneur, we have so many creative ideas.
We do.
That flip through our
heads.
We don't
sleep much.
Yeah, sleep, what's
mm-hmm.
that?
Yeah, what is the sleep you speak of? But anyway, I strongly, everybody who's listening, take a look at thejournalinggenius.com and take a look at, you know, her different products, because they're wonderful. I highly recommend them. So, Judy, thank you so much for being here with me today. I always enjoy your company.
Always fun to chat with you.
Well, we have too much fun, actually. We're not really professional when we get on here, but we do give some good information.
Oh, who says it's not professional to have fun?
I know. We do. We have too much fun. So thank you for giving so much valuable information to our listeners. And I know they appreciate it just as much as I do. So thank you, everybody, for being here. And the show will be available for download in about an hour. And this is Denise Griffiths and Judy Peebles, the Journaling Genius, wishing you a wonderful weekend.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Denise. Have a great weekend.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye.